Welcome to When Your Health Matters. Your host is Dr. Richard Huntoon of Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, located right here in the Hudson Valley in Newburgh. He has been practicing alternative health, utilizing chiropractic and many other alternative health techniques for the past 20 years to support you when your health matters. It's Dr. Huntoon's intention to offer practical advice every week for you to consider and apply in your own life to make your life and the lives of your family and friends healthier and happier. And when you have questions, he'll give you resources to get your health-related questions answered by Doc Rick himself or another expert from the show. Being empowered to make positive health choices before a problem arises is the best way to approach health. Doc Rick calls that being proactive, and he promises to have information for you every week that will allow you to become proactive and empowered to take control of your health and your life. Doc Rick is grateful you're tuned in today, and your journey will begin after our first commercial break from this generous sponsor.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
I'm here with Bruce Bagan of B&B Pool and Spa Center. We're talking about making home pools and spas green.
As always, it's great speaking with you, Jimmy.
You are the exclusive pool builder that offers the IntelliPool and IntelliSpa.
Jimmy, green is about more than just energy. It's about safety and cleanliness as well.
What makes up an Intelli system?
As far as what's green, it includes a programmable IntelliFlow pump with its built-in shutoff feature that meets New York and New Jersey's requirements for new pools. We use heat pumps that reduce heating costs. We offer solar heating as well. For those people who wish to reduce or eliminate chemicals in the pool, we can install a system that makes their water virtually chemical-free.
Thanks for informing our listeners, Bruce. If you need to contact a pool professional about your pool, call B&B Pool and Spa Center, 787 Chestnut Ridge Road in Chestnut Ridge, and on the web at bbpoolandspa.com, or call 800-594-2137. That's bbpoolandspa.com, 800-594-2137.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Welcome to this week's show, When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, serving all your healthcare needs naturally. And today we're here to talk about health concerns that affect all of us here in the Hudson Valley. And before we do that, I wanted to introduce my cohort for today's show. His name is Mark Sabin, and he's sitting across the studio from me. And welcome, Mark, and thanks for coming back, and welcome to When Your Health Matters.
Well, thank you, Doc Rick, and good morning to you. Today, I wanted to talk to you about a condition, or maybe even a disease, that affects so many people today, and it seems to be on the increase. And that is something that affects children in particular, and it's autism. Other childhood mental disorders are, you know, they're a topic of great concern and more than a little controversy, really. Autism is not really a single isolated condition. It's described as a spectrum. So what exactly is autism, and what does the autism spectrum mean?
Well, autism, or more properly, autism spectrum disorder, is a range of complex neurodevelopmental disorders characterized by social impairments, communication difficulties, and restricted, repetitive, and stereotyped patterns of behavior. They're affecting more and more children every year.
And so that means that there's really an extensive range of levels that a person might be suffering from. So some people are able to function pretty well, and others have severe problems that require constant supervision and care. So why is there such a range? And are we really talking about the same illness here?
Autistic disorder, sometimes called autism or classical ASD, is the most severe form of the autistic spectrum disorder. While other conditions along the spectrum include milder forms known as Asperger syndrome and childhood disintegrative disorder and pervasive developmental disorder not otherwise specified, which is usually referred to as PDD-NOS. Although autism spectrum disorder varies significantly in character and severity, it occurs in all ethnic and socioeconomic groups and affects even pretty much every age group. So it's early diagnosed in children, but obviously those children grow up, and so it affects all levels of different ages.
And how common is autism?
Well, depending upon where you are in the country, here in the tri-state area, it's 1 in 50 will have it, and experts estimate that 1 out of every 88 children age 8 will have ASD, and that's from the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. You know, that was back in 2012. Now, males are four times more likely to have autism than females are. And it's, you know, here in, again in the tri-state area, it's one in 50 and it's really getting out of hand.
It's a lot higher here in the Hudson Valley then.
Yeah.
So what are some signs of this illness?
The hallmark features of autism is impaired social interactions. As early as infancy, a baby with autism may be unresponsive to people or focus intently on one item to the exclusion of all others for long periods of time. A child with autism may appear to develop normally and then withdraw and become indifferent to social engagement. Children with autism may fail to respond to their names and often avoid eye contact with other people. They have difficulty interpreting what others are thinking or feeling because they can't understand the generally accepted social cues, such as a tone of voice or facial expression, and they don't watch other people's faces for clues about appropriate behavior, and they may be interpreted as that they lack empathy.
Mm-hmm. Now, are there cognitive issues with autism as well?
There are definitely cognitive issues. Basically, many children with autism spectrum disorder engage in repetitive motions such as rocking and twirling or in self-abusive behaviors such as biting or headbanging. They also tend to start speaking later than other children and may refer to themselves by name instead of I or me. They don't really know how to play interactively with other children. Some speak in a sing-songy voice about a narrow range of favorite topics with little regard for the interests of the other person whom they may be speaking with. They seem to be a little bit more self-centered or self-focused.
Mm-hmm. And you said it's common not to be able to recognize emotional cues in an autistic child.
They're just totally flat affect, if you will. They, you know, another child may be upset or a parent may be upset or frustrated or whatever, and the child themselves doesn't recognize it.
Mm-hmm. Now, are you looking for certain developmental milestones as your child grows that would lead you to believe that your child has or doesn't have this?
It depends upon how on top of the child's development the parents are. I can speak from somewhat personal experience. My youngest brother, he has two lovely children who are on the autism spectrum, and when they were first growing up, I figured that his older child David would have been more of an Asperger's type situation. Mm-hmm. But when my brother took him to Yale New Haven for 3 days of testing, they came back and they weren't a little bit autistic. They were the worst case of autism that the doctor said he'd ever seen,
and really,
so,
wow.
Really threw him far down the hallway. It's difficult to diagnose. I would like to say that no parent wants to have a child who has these kinds of issues or concerns. Mm-hmm. So there may be a certain level of denial. There may be a certain level of not willing to recognize, even if things seem to be pretty observable from outside adults or other people. But then again, how do you have the conversation with the parent that, you know what, your kid seems a little off, you should have that checked? Who's got the courage to say that
it's
to
a
somebody
tough one.
They care about?
Yeah, I've encountered that exact situation myself in a daycare situation, and you just, there's no way to easily cross that bridge. Now,
right.
you said that your nephew that it took 3 days of testing to discover what the severity of this condition was. Why isn't there a test to diagnose this condition?
Well, it's because it's a spectrum, because it's presents in a variety of different fashions. There's no one way to say that, oh, this particular scan or this particular blood test whatever is going to diagnose it. They need to observe the child. They need to put the child through different types of tests and see how they respond. And so it takes a little while to gather the information. And this is a diagnosis that thank goodness my brother and sister-in-law live in Connecticut, so they get a lot of support from the state. And it's a difficult thing to deal with, but there's no one specific test, so it requires a lot of observing and going from there.
Mm-hmm. Is it easy to miss a mild case of autism, like somebody that's on the lean side of the spectrum?
I would imagine that it is until they get into schooling, and then or even preschooling. You have to pay attention. You got to notice the patterns, and you you got to do some research to understand, well, what is it that I could be dealing with? And again, it's tough because parents don't want to look for problems.
Sure.
You know, people don't like to go to the doctor because they're afraid of what they're going to be told, and so that's the general mentality that we have. I applaud my brother and sister-in-law for taking the bull by the horns and going and having the testing done, because they wanted to know and they wanted to do it early and they wanted to get the best treatment and intervention as possible to give their child and ultimately their children the best opportunity to grow up in a normal, healthy fashion.
Does that early intervention help in terms of a case of autism?
Well, I would imagine that it makes the best possible scenario for outcomes. I mean, I can happily report that my nephew, they took him off of dairy, they took him off of cheese, they took him off of wheat and all gluten products, mm-hmm. and they started him on some very good, high-quality, energetic-type homeopathic preparations. And I can report today that my nephew's in second grade, reading and interacting and participating in a normal second grade class. And to look at him, you wouldn't think that you'd think that he's got quirks about him, but every kid has quirks about him. But
yeah, it almost seemed to me that everybody's sort of on this spectrum.
Yeah, and so both of them are doing very, very, very well. They're performing very well in school, and they have normal social interactions, and they have parties, and they interact, and they got their stimulating that they have to burn off periodically, and my brother and sister-in-law have done a wonderful job creating a home that allows them to have their outlets and to deal with the particular imbalance that they have. But I would like to say that from my observations, they're not carrying a big weight around their neck saying, woe is me, my kid has autism, and what are we going to do about it? No, they live a very productive, very happy, very full life, and their kids interact and do everything with other kids in a normal fashion.
Well, that is, that's a really hopeful message. I think if that young boy was brought in and said, this is the most severe case of autism that we've seen, and then now to hear you describe how close to a normal life he's leading, that sounds like a really hopeful message that you have from your brother.
Well, there should be hopeful messages out there, and it's not due to a lot of hard work and effort and education. And, I took my brother to seminars to learn about natural methods, and they committed to the path. They're certainly not the rule, but it could become the rule for families if they just have a sense of where to start and aren't afraid of it and deal with it head on.
And that's something I think people really have to consider if they're facing a child with autism or somewhere on that spectrum, that they really need to intervene as soon as possible, and that there are methods for helping to mitigate what's going on with that condition.
Absolutely.
We need to take a short commercial break to hear from our generous sponsor, the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com. When we get back, I want to ask you some more questions about this condition that is affecting so many people today.
Absolutely. But please listen to this commercial from our generous sponsor. You're listening to the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
You've been going to the doctor for years. They order you blood work, give you a pill to cover up your symptom, and send you on your way. The side effects to that medication could not only be dangerous, but life-threatening, and what you don't know can kill you. I'm Dr. Richard Huntoon of the Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. For all the latest on improving your health, I'm here to answer any questions in helping you towards a healthier life. Call Advanced Alternative Medicine Center at 561-2225 or go to spineboy.com.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
We are back, and you're listening to When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon. And today we're talking about autism spectrum disorder. And Mark, I'm sure you have more questions for us.
I do. Is it true that the numbers are actually really increasing now?
Yes, the numbers are actually increasing hugely so, and supposedly they're doing more research as to understanding why, and I know it's controversial, but there's a lot of, I guess you can't actually call it evidence, but, you know, sometimes things are so self-evident that it's evidence enough, and the fact that the number of increased vaccinations that our children are being asked to consume, or have, I should say, and the number of adjuvants that are involved in all these different vaccines. I can tell you definitively that my nephew will never get another vaccine. Both of them will never get another vaccine, and the doctors are happy to not give them vaccines because they're on the autism spectrum. So perhaps there's no, quote, scientific evidence that the public is being made aware of, but the general practices speaks to a different different story there.
Well, I know that, you know, that there was a lot of controversy about vaccines and the fact that they use mercury as part of the preservative, and mercury has very bad effects on the brain. But there's also the consideration that there's so many coal-burning plants for energy, and that the coal, the exhaust that comes out of those coal-burning plants also contains a lot of mercury. So we're also dealing with a much more polluted environment generally. And, you know, do you think that that might have an effect on what's happening with autism?
Well, they talk about environmental factors, and so that certainly would be an environmental factor, and not having researched it enough, you know, being well aware of it because of the impact that it's had on my family personally. You know, I'm aware of the situation, and I'm aware of all the research that I did in an effort to help my brother and sister-in-law, and certainly my two nephews. It's you know, there's certainly environmental factors that are involved, and we don't seem to be doing enough to protect our environment, because it naturally leads to health issues, which just keeps that cash cow that is our healthcare system moving forward.
Yeah, that's a problem. Now, how can a parent tell if their child is perhaps on the autism spectrum? What signs should they look for?
Things like lack of failure to have good eye contact, if they have repetitive motions or repetitive verbal utterances, or if they're just relatively withdrawn and they don't seem to like to engage. You know, kids naturally are curious. They like to engage. They like to ask questions. They like to get in your face. And if a child is doing the opposite of all of that, yeah, you definitely would like to, sooner rather than later, have an evaluation.
And who would you go to for that kind of evaluation?
You would go to a doctor trained to recognize autism. You'd maybe go to a neurologist. You know, there's lots of, you know, talk to your pediatrician and say, if I want to have my child evaluated for autism, where is the best place to go? I mean, we have a wonderful center up here in the Hudson Valley. You know, perhaps go there and have some testing done.
Mm-hmm. So beyond testing, if a parent suspects a child might be on the autism spectrum, what should he or she do?
They got to start getting educated. My sister-in-law, God bless her, she is absolutely the best mother that I've ever seen, just in terms of above and beyond and all the things that she does to care for and take care of her children. And I've been encouraging her for the last 4 or 5 years that, Karen, sweetie, you need to write a how-to book for parents who are given this diagnosis, because they're devastated when they're given the diagnosis, like what's going to be the life of my child, and how is my child ever going to survive, and how are we going to survive? And I'm sure there's lots of marriages that have ended because parents can't get along as a result of how you deal with that. And I know for a fact, if my sister-in-law wrote a how-to book for a child, you know, parents for children diagnosed with autism, she could retire tomorrow. But for whatever reason, she's a little reticent, but she's always happy to talk to people on the phone. She's always happy to answer questions. And it's just like, Karen, please sit down, take a week or so, or take a couple of weeks, take a month, take however long it takes, but write the book, because there's just so many people who need help and need support and need guidance. And she's lived it. So she knows her kids are in school doing normal things that normal kids do at their age, and it's due to all the love and hard work that both my brother and sister-in-law have put into it.
That's a good testament for early intervention and getting that kind of education so that you can actually intervene in this illness and help guide a child into a more normal existence.
Absolutely.
Now, is autism a lifelong illness? Is it yet curable?
Cure is such a taboo word. You're not allowed to use the word cure in the healthcare industry anymore, because then that implies that that there's potentially for a monopoly where people are going to come to this practitioner or they're going to do this one thing. And since there is not a one size fits all with anybody, every case has to be dealt with by case by case basis. But my hope is that as my nephews continue to grow and continue to move into their teenage years and then their adult years, that at the end of the day, they'll be totally self-sufficient and the diagnosis of autism will not be carried around their neck like a lead weight.
Mm-hmm. I mean, is this a condition that I remember growing up in school? There was always the weird kid in school that kind of got isolated off. Was that child likely be somebody that had an autist somewhere on the autistic spectrum?
I don't know. I think you just described me as a kid growing up. Again, we all have our little quirks. I mean, everybody is raised a little bit differently and has their little nuances. I don't want people trying to draw conclusions about. I mean, it requires proper testing and a proper evaluating, and it requires professionals to do it. The diagnosis is very serious and it will follow somebody around, and you want to have it done properly with the proper authorities and the people who are the experts in order to do that. And don't, just because somebody's a little bit quirky, think that they have either attention deficit disorder or autism or Asperger's or whatever. Have the proper evaluation.
That's a good piece of advice. Now, I understand that autistic children, along with some of the social behavioral issues and the repetitive behavior, also have sleep disorders. So does the lack of sleep make matters worse?
I'm sure it does. Realistically, it's important for the brain to get proper amounts of sleep, but a lot of these kids, their nervous system is overstimulated. It's on hyperdrive, and so they have a lot of repetitive motions. My nephews, one of them likes to flap his arms. He's not a duck or a bird, although he has got that motion down pat. And the older one, David, he needs to run around in circles for a little while or just go for a walk or whatever. He's got it under control, but the parents have the house set up in such a way that they're able to express that energy that they need to, everybody knows that everybody's on the same page with it.
Mm-hmm. Now, you talk about this hypersensitivity, and I understand that sensory stimulation can be even overwhelming for somebody that has autism. How does it present, the sensory issues?
Again, it depends. I know that in my brother's house, they have a room devoted to where the kids can go to get, whatever stimulation that they need in order for them to feel more calm. I mean, it's a great room. I personally like going in there. So who knows? Maybe I am a little bit quirky. In fact, I'm sure I'm quirky. But they have this little kids' pool that instead of having water in it, they have red beans.
Mm.
And the whole pool is filled with those beans. And you get in the pool and you get the weight of the beans and the little differences in the smoothness. But each individual bean touching the body seems to help the kids tremendously.
Mm.
And they just have all this stuff that helps to calm down the oversensitivity that the nervous system has, and it's wonderful.
Well, I'm really so glad to hear the personal story. I think really helps to sort of focus our conversation a little bit in terms of that there are ways to deal with this illness and there are ways to help people, and it really is a matter of both seeking out the diagnosis, but then also looking at what kinds of things that you might be able to do to help your child. child if you're in a situation where you're faced with that.
Right, and the parents who are dealing with it, they are finding solutions that the doctors don't necessarily know or don't necessarily understand, and so it isn't just about what your doctor's going to tell you as being the be-all, end-all law about it. You know, my brother asked for some input. I took him to a seminar on natural alternatives to treating autism, and he met a whole network of people that he ended up working with and listening to them. And I think that all of the efforts that he put in and all the efforts that my sister-in-law put in has made all the difference in terms of how their children are.
This is really great stuff. Now, you mentioned that your brother and sister-in-law took wheat away and dairy away from your nephew, and that had a profound effect on their health. Can you talk a little bit about how dietary things can shift for an autistic child?
Well, my understanding is that these things have a tendency to create sensitivities within the person's body, and if a nervous system is already overstimulated or working in that particular spectrum, the last thing you want to do is add more fuel to the fire. So you kind of take these things out, their whole nervous systems calm down, and they were able to focus and able to actually, instead of being locked in their body, they were now actually able to come outside of their body. I mean, it's still emotional every time I think about it. When I walked into their house, when my brother and I came back from a seminar, and I hadn't seen my nephew in probably 5-6 weeks, I walked into the house, and he's sitting across the other side of the room, and he looked over at me, and he's like, "Hi, Uncle Wick." And at that point in his life, he'd never once acknowledged me. So to see that dramatic of a change just simply by taking these substances out of his diet was huge. And it was the first step towards where he was headed and how he's gone through that. So gluten-free, dairy-free diets certainly seem to be helpful, at least it was for him.
Mm-hmm. And are there other kinds of supplements that a child might want to take?
There are supplements. There are homeopaths. There are Energetics is a company that makes different remedies that do very, very, very well for kids on the autism spectrum. I introduced my brother and sister-in-law to those resources, and their kids use that stuff all the time.
Mm-hmm. So, that's really important, I think, in terms of this show, as we kind of reach towards the end of the show, is that there are alternative solutions that people can employ to help a child deal with this condition. It may not be, as you said, there's no cures, but it certainly can help mitigate what the condition does and how well a child can then be responsive and have a normal life.
Absolutely. And it's important for parents who are given this this difficult diagnosis to get more involved in their child's life and to search out and talk to people who have resources. The Anderson Center for Autism is a great resource. I highly recommend that parents certainly contact them. If people get a hold of me directly, I will be happy to put them in touch with my sister-in-law, who would be more than happy to have conversations with people and point them and give them different ideas. And perhaps that will help her write a book.
Maybe we can stimulate her to write that book. So yeah. If people do want to reach you, what's the best way to reach you?
Best way to do that is to give my office a call at 845-561-BACK or 561-2225, or they can email me directly at docrick@spineboy.com. That's docrick at spineboy.com. And it is honestly my pleasure. It is my purpose. It is my passion to help people who have these types of difficult health concerns figure out what they can do to become a more balanced, more integrated individual and the families that are affected by these different conditions. That's my passion. That's my purpose. And that's why we do the show.
And I encourage anyone out there who's listening to this show and who may be facing a situation where you have a child that's looking at being on the autism spectrum to give Doc Rick a call. He'll be very happy to help direct you and help give you some resources and perhaps be able to help you in a more direct fashion.
So absolutely. So I appreciate everybody who's listening's time and energy. Thank you for tuning into this week's show. Please tune back in with us next week. Same health time, same health station. This is Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, located in Newburgh, New York, saying I look forward to speaking to you when your health matters.